Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, in a minute, I'm going to get to an exciting interview with a leading Christian voice who's warning people about the real John McCain. He wrote a fabulous book titled None of the Above. But while here in Colorado, the pro-life movement was ahead of the curve, exposing the long, career-long record of John McCain advocating, supporting, funding the killing of unborn children in so many ways. Who would have thought it? But during the RNC, someone came out and said, yes, in fact, John McCain actually wants to keep Roe v. Wade legal, wants to keep Roe v. Wade the law of the land. Who is it that said that? A no name? A volunteer in the camp? Oh, his wife, the candidate's wife. So this is just 30 seconds long. Let's hear this audio clip, and then we'll get to the author of None of the Above.
Where do you stand on abortion?
I'm pro-life. I'm on the record as being pro-life like my husband.
So do you oppose it even in the cases of rape and incest?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. So that's where you two differ in terms of your position on that. Do you believe Roe v. Wade should be overturned?
No.
No?
I don't. No.
Why not? Your husband does.
No, I don't think he does.
He believes that it should be overturned. That's what he told me, and that it should go to the states.
Well, in that respect, yes, yeah, it is a state. That I understand what you're saying. It is a states issue, absolutely. That
so you do believe it should be overturned or shouldn't be overturned?
I believe it's a state's issue. That I do believe.
Of course, right after the interview, Katie Couric, her producers, got in touch with the McCain campaign, and they clarified, no, Cindy McCain does not think Roe v. Wade should be overturned. She doesn't think it's a state's rights issue. She thinks Roe v. Wade, which gives the legal supposed right to kill an unborn child, should remain the law of the land. And so this is doublespeak that's been coming from the McCains for many, many, many years. Nothing at all in policy has changed about John McCain. Now, this is exciting. One of the leading Christian voices in America has authored a book, None of the Above. And I'd like to welcome to Bob and Yurt Live, Joseph Farah. Joseph, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Great to be with you.
You're welcome. Founder, editor, president of WorldNet Daily. Wow, it's we've had you on before, Joseph, but what an honor. I read WorldNet Daily regularly for my news. We have a 50,000-watt AM radio station here that we've been on the air for 17 years, 5 days a week. And you guys are a key source for valid news for America. So, Joseph, could you tell us about your book? I've got all kinds of questions and thoughts about it right here. I think it took courage to write it. None of the above. And you point out that if John McCain wins, he will say it was because of his willingness to compromise.
Oh, sure. You know, my problem in 2008 is essentially this, Bob. We don't have a choice. We have two Democrats vying against one another. And in effect, we have Barack Obama, who's widely regarded as the most liberal member of the Democratic Senate caucus. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, we have John McCain, who, according to the New Republic, a liberal Democrat magazine, was the most effective proponent of the Democratic Party's agenda in the U.S. Senate over the last 4 years. So that's our choice, the most effective Democrat or the most liberal Democrat. Essentially, we have two guys who want to take the country down the same wrong road.
Right.
One of them wants to go a little bit faster than the other one.
They both are very much pro-homosexual agenda in all kinds of ways, pro-killing of unborn children, pro-socialism, refusing to defend America regarding protecting our borders, enforcing our borders. So we do have two Democrats.
Bob, if you want to get the most divisive issue was supposedly going to be the war in Iraq between these two guys, because you had Obama, who was against it from the beginning, you had McCain, who was for it from the beginning, and their positions on Iraq are indistinguishable from one another right now. They have essentially the same withdrawal plan, and remarkably, something I uncovered since the book has been published. They're both planning to have the same Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, the current Secretary of Defense. Both of them have said, you know, they'd love to have him come back. Mm. Now, you tell me there's a difference between these two guys?
Yeah, and, well, in Obama, if we could take a minute to slam Obama, although your readers and my listeners, it goes without saying that Barack Obama is a godless, socialist, pro-child-killing politician. But according to the New York Post today, the Iraqi foreign minister is saying that Barack Obama, when he came to Iraq, he was urging them to delay any withdrawal of U.S. forces.
That's right.
Supposedly,
I wonder how Code Pink's going to feel about that.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Joseph Farrow, editor of WorldNet Daily. Right. Here's Barack Obama. The truth is, he wants our troops in Iraq to use this as an election ploy. And if more troops get killed in the meantime, well, he wants them to delay removing troops so that it could look as bad as possible on the ground for the Republicans. That's how despicably wicked the Democratic Party is in Barack Obama. But that doesn't justify supporting someone who is an enemy of what is good and right, an enemy of Christianity, someone who undermines God's enduring command, do not murder. I mean, John McCain votes for surgical abortion for some kids he thinks shouldn't be loved or protected. He votes millions of dollars for abortion providers, domestic and foreign, including Planned Parenthood. He authorizes funding to kill unborn children through grisly research, the tiniest boys and girls, research on embryos. And so that's the world of John McCain. He even opposed an effort to protect marriage between one man and one woman.
And, Bob, it gets worse. Beginning this week, he's got a radio ad campaign pledging that the McCain administration will increase spending on embryonic stem cell research.
You are absolutely right.
He's going to work with his colleagues in Congress. You know what that means.
Yeah.
That's the John McCain we've known for the last decade, the guy who loves to work with Democrats on anything and everything. This is a man who has worked to eliminate the pro-life plank from the Republican Party's platform.
That's absolutely
right. And this is a man
right.
who Republicans have fallen when he says he's pro-life and that he believes that life begins at conception. Most Republicans, the overwhelming percentage of Republicans, have just accepted that without looking at the man's track record.
Now, there's a vice presidential candidate on another ticket, America's Independent Party ticket. By the way, Joseph, they're on the ballot in California, Texas, Florida, and right here in Colorado. Alan Keyes, Ambassador Alan Keyes, mm-hmm. and his vice presidential running mate, Brian Rohrbaugh. And I heard Brian Rohrbaugh saying, he's here in Denver, he's often in the media. In fact, he'll be on for 2 hours, let me give a plug, on another radio station, KRKS, FM 94.7, from 4 to 6 o'clock through drive time, hosting Gino Geraci's number one drive time Christian radio show. And Brian Rohrbaugh said today that when Barack Obama says he doesn't know when life begins, he's most likely lying to us. But when John McCain says life begins at conception, and then he advocates killing countless little boys and girls, then John McCain is more culpable, more guilty, more wicked than is Barack Obama, because he says, I know human rights begin at conception. I know it's a human being, but I think you should kill it.
You know, it stunned me at the Rick Warren Forum. That was the first time I'd heard John McCain actually make the pronouncement that life begins at conception.
That was his first time.
But practically in the same breath.
Right.
It was in the same breath that he went on to explain that he is for embryonic stem cell research.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's stunning because
he's
it
lying.
Proves what you're saying.
Yes.
Somebody who believes that it's human life at the moment of conception but says an embryo can be destroyed for and experimented on.
And I'll fund it. And I'll fund it.
Yeah,
and now Sarah Palin has added her name to whitewash John McCain's really brutal record about killing kids. And the two of them, in her name, There's a TV ad. I got the transcript of it right here. And they're saying these are leaders. They're mavericks. They're reformers. They're going to increase by millions of dollars the money spent on stem cell research. And, of course, with McCain, that only means embryonic killing the tiniest boys and girls. But Joseph Farah.
Let me correct you on one thing, though.
Yeah.
He didn't say, I'll fund it. He said, I'll force you to fund it.
Good
with
point.
Your tax dollars.
That's exactly right. Now, let me give a little plug here. CBS News quoted me as saying that when John McCain was on with Rick Warren, that was his Saturday night conversion to the pro-life position. And it is in stark contrast with his entire career, where he has advocated killing unborn children in countless ways, including by voting for surgical abortion for kids whose fathers are criminals, rapists, as recently as October 27th, 2005. He funds Title X, Medicaid, all kinds of chemical abortifacients, Planned Parenthood. So Joseph Farah, it takes guts, though, because it's almost like conservative Christians have been group hypnotized. It's like the invasion of the body snatchers. They're walking around like zombies saying salvation is in the Republican Party. Salvation is in the Republican Party.
And, you know, one other thing about the pro-life issue with McCain that's very important for people to understand. McCain has consistently, even though he's always, you know, characterized his position as pro-life,
right,
he has always had the exceptions for rape and the health of the mother. Now, that's an exception that you can drive, you know, the Queen Mary through there, because
right,
the health of the mother, what does that mean?
Yeah, you could fill school buses with John McCain's exceptions.
Yeah.
And he now says, and tragically, Sarah Palin has just adopted this since the RNC, he now says that abortion should be regulated by the states. And if that's true, if they really believe that, then Sarah Palin and John McCain are saying, if we're in the White House, we will not enforce the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the 14th Amendment, which requires that the states not deprive any person of the right to life.
That's right. And one other last thought on this important issue, because I know it's a paramount issue to many Christians, and that is, let's not forget that John McCain was one of 100 people who could have stood up to the confirmation of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer, but did not, knowing full well that how they would come down on this issue. He also praised, at the end of her career, at her retirement,
yes,
Sandra Day O'Connor's tenure as a justice, and she was the swing vote that preserved Roe versus Wade as the so-called law of the land.
Yeah, so Christians, even our Christian leaders, have become so accustomed to killing children in the womb, they can no longer understand that it is murder. If only, whenever we talk about abortion, if they would change fetus to Jew, and if they would say, will I support a ticket that advocates funding to kill Jews? Well, I support a ticket that says that the states can kill Jews if they want to, because our Christian leaders can't understand what it is they're advocating. They are advocating the overthrow of everything that is godly and good and right in America when they support John McCain.
Absolutely. And, you know, if one of the candidates said, well, I don't believe in killing as many Jews as the other guy does,
whoa,
I don't think we would find that acceptable either.
No, I don't think all blacks should be held as slaves, just black males, you know, because they cause more trouble than black females. I mean, we would see through that in a second. But because it's unborn children that normally you can't see, our leaders are hypnotized. It's almost like they're cheering for this Stanley Cup or the Super Bowl. They become obsessed because they want a victory. It's like when they watch Sean Hannity and O'Reilly, it's like they're watching a soap opera, a daily soap, and they're just so emotionally invested they can't control themselves.
One of the problems we have, Bob, with this, with the mentality that Americans have when it comes to presidential election years, is the desire to have somebody that you can support. And, you know, it's I, I fallen subject to it myself. I'm sure you have
years. That's right.
And, you know, but you have to draw a line in the sand somewhere and have some standard, some reference point at which you say, you know, this is it. And in my book, None of the Above, I drew that as the Constitution. You know, I think that's a pretty darn good standard, given that these guys, when they, you know, pledged, when they take their oath of office, they swear on a Bible that they're going to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Neither one of these candidates is going to do that.
Joseph Farah, you just said that, you know, you're sure I have, and you were right, that you have in the past supported people who were outright evil.
Yes.
You know, if I would have grown up and if I would have had a Joseph Farah back in the 70s, or if I would have had an Ambassador Alan Keyes in the 80s, who I was aware of and could show me right from wrong, like think of Judge Robert Bork. I remember, you know, lobbying as best I could for Robert Bork to be confirmed. Mm-hmm. Well, I read his book, Slouching to Gomorrah, after he had been Borked, and he admits in the book, he said, I was pro-choice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I was pro-abortion when I was nominated. I didn't know. I didn't care that abortion was a crime of killing a child and it should be outlawed. So we take our heroes, our people. Antonin Scalia last night was on the national news basically reinforcing that an unborn child is not a person, doesn't deserve the protection of the Fifth or 14th Amendments. You're not committing a crime when you kill a precious little baby in the womb. And these are our heroes, because we Christians have been supporting people who don't know right from wrong, and they advocate what is evil.
And unfortunately aren't even paying attention to the Constitution, because the preamble to the Constitution talks about all of these rights, including the right to life, being preserved for the progeny, which means people who were unborn at the time that the Constitution was ratified.
Yeah, could I, in your book, in fact, Joseph Farah, None of the Above, you point out that when the Constitution says that these rights are to be preserved for ourselves and our posterity, I think I got that here on page 61
yes,
of your
posterity.
Book.
Posterity, I'm sorry, I said progeny.
Yeah, that's good.
Even a better word.
A thesaurus is good. Synonyms are good. Yeah, page 61 of your book, the federal government's responsibility is to protect the right to life and property for ourselves and our posterity. And your posterity includes your children, your offspring. And you got a baby in the womb that has a biological mother, a biological father. That baby is made in God's image and likeness. And you know what? When they grow in the womb, they suck their thumbs. They play with their toes. They sleep. They actually dream. They learn their mother's voice. And in America, you can kill that baby through all 9 months. There is not one baby that the Right to Life movement or the Republican Party has succeeded in protecting in 40 years of legalized abortion.
It's a tragedy. It's time to get on a new road. And we're not going to be able to do it by voting for either one of the major party candidates mm-hmm. this year. And it's just time to be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, I think so. What is the benefit? How are we going to win? By lying to ourselves. And surely our Christian leaders in America want to be lied to. They're demonstrating that clearly. Can I ask you about this? Here in Colorado, we have a historic first. We're speaking with Joseph Farah, editor of WorldNet Daily, author of the book None of the Above. Joseph Farah, we have, for the first time in 40 years, a state where we have the opportunity to acknowledge in November, when we go to the ballot statewide, to acknowledge the personhood of the unborn. WorldNet Daily has been at the forefront of reporting on the personhood movement and Colorado getting on the ballot with defining person as every human being from the moment of fertilization. And we have now John McCain, who has not only refused to endorse Colorado's personhood amendment, which is exactly what he claimed to believe with Rick Warren during his Saturday night conversion, but also in the U.S. Senate, Senator Roger Wicker, Republican from Mississippi, introduced a Life at Conception Act, which is perfect. It is a perfect bill from the protection of unborn children. From that perspective, 11 U.S. senators have co-sponsored that bill, and John McCain has refused. So is it not a valid observation that if John McCain was not lying to us on Rick Warren to get our money and our votes, then he should endorse these personhood amendments in Colorado and in the U.S. Senate?
Oh, no question about it. But you need to evaluate political candidates, especially for high office, not by what they say during an election year, because, boy, that clip from Cindy McCain was a beauty. I hadn't heard that before. But John McCain is saying different things if you listen carefully.
Right.
But politicians will say anything in an election year to get what they want, and that is
right.
Power.
Right.
But you've got to evaluate them by their track record. It's a much better standard.
They will lie to us. Years ago, John McCain is running as a Republican pro-life candidate, wants to be the presidential nominee. He tells the San Francisco Chronicle that he's opposed to overturning Roe v. Wade.
Right.
So, I mean, he just says it right out. So,
and then when he, I guess he thought he was only talking to people in San Francisco.
Yeah,
when he
exactly.
gave that interview.
Right.
When he realized that, in this age of the internet and so forth, you can't contain that kind of information, he quickly backtracked and with more double talk.
Well, here's what's happened. Now, more recently, one of his campaign staffers, well-placed staffer, said, well, that was one instance of McCain misspeaking in his whole career, and it was immediately clarified. The reality is the media went to the McCain campaign after that interview was published, and they asked, did John McCain misspeak? And they were, and this is published, you go back to the Washington Post, they were told, no, John McCain did not misspeak. He doesn't want to overturn Roe v. Wade. But then he realized he keeps losing the Republican primary effort. He can't get the nomination. So now he figures, I'll just lie to them and I'll tell them I'm pro-life. I want Roe v. Wade overturned. But now the Libertarian Party and Ron Paul gave him another idea. He says the states should regulate child killing. And of course, if a child is a person, then God's enduring command, do not murder, tells us the states don't have the right to decriminalize the killing of unborn children. And even the U.S. Constitution says the states must preserve the right to life of every person.
So, well, furthermore, if you want to turn it back to the states, you can only do that by overturning Roe versus Wade. So that in itself is a contradiction. It was in the hands of the states before Roe versus Wade.
Well, it was. 19 states legalized abortion at one level or another. I've got that documented here on a website at American Right to Life. New York State, for example, abortion on demand. Colorado, 1967. Ronald Reagan followed a month later, in the summer of 1967, signed California's first permissive abortion law. But I don't know if you recall, Joseph Farah, years later, toward the end of his life, Ronald Reagan was asked on national TV, what was the biggest mistake of your career? And he said, signing that terrible abortion law in California.
Yes.
So when a man repents, when a man does wrong and he repents before God, before his fellow peers, then God could work with that man. But John McCain, has he repented of his years of advocating killing kids, funding it?
No, he's still telling different stories. He hasn't even reconciled, with himself, his sincere beliefs about this subject.
Yeah. Well, your book deals with a lot other than John McCain. The book is None of the Above. I think it's courageous to write this book, especially timed for an election season when the whole Christian community becomes obsessed with party politics. But you point out in this book that there are tremendous, tremendous issues that are at stake. And whether we have a Republican or a Democratic president in the White House, either way, America is headed for increased moral failure.
Absolutely. Again, it's time for Americans to decide whether they want to affirmatively be part of the problem by choosing a candidate who they know is wrong on these key issues, or whether they want to take what I believe to be the moral position and say no, none of the above in this case.
You talk about Justice Roy Moore and the conservative Christians who stood by while Justice Roy Moore was attacked, the Chief Justice in Alabama, for having the Ten Commandments on a monument at their state Supreme Court building. And it seems that Christian leaders are trying to teach us that we should embrace a little bit of evil to avoid a greater evil. And you say, Joseph Farah, you don't see that anywhere in the Bible where it says to embrace a little bit of leaven.
That's exactly right. And amazingly, I have been accused of being unbiblical, unscriptural, and even advocating sin.
Well, maybe Janet Partials. Could I name Janet Partials, Joseph Farah? She called you a heretic because you will not endorse an unrepentant, godless child killer.
Now, we have too many Republicans, and many of them are Christians, who are just so eager to be part of the game, to have access to power,
right,
that they're willing to, frankly, sell their souls.
And that's, you know, that's a lust of the flesh. It's a lust of the flesh to say, I want to be a player no matter what the cost. I want to be a player. And we have Christian leaders who want to be kingmakers. And I remember this happened with George W. Bush. And the demand was that he better pick a pro-family running mate or we're not going to support the Republican ticket. Mm-hmm. And so he picked Dick Cheney. And Dick Cheney, in the vice presidential debates, he came out against the defense of marriage between one man and one woman. And their Christian leaders said, well, he's good enough.
Yeah,
he's a good pro-family guy. And now we have the Republican nominee who's against defending marriage.
It's stunning. It's truly stunning. And what's alarming, Bob, is just how easy it is to co-opt Republican and Christian voters. Mm. I mean, it doesn't take much. John McCain has been at war with our values for at least the last 10 years. It's just, you know, eminently documentable.
Oh, yeah.
And they're willing to overlook all of that.
Well, the media, we have John McCain as the Republican nominee because the media treated him like the statesman of the Republican Party for almost a decade. Mm-hmm. The same way they picked Bob Dole. The media handpicked Bob Dole because they thought, well, in worst case, if he wins, we still got a guy we can work with. The media handpicked John McCain, and now we've got, yeah, I hate to say it, James Dobson, and so many that don't understand they've been manipulated to support a godless politician who supports killing kids and is opposed to marriage between a man and a woman.
A lot of folks have asked me how John McCain got the nomination, and I think you're right, the big media did set him up in a big way. But also, let's not forget all those Democratic crossover votes during the primary, the people who wanted to ensure
that
a Democrat was going to win the presidential race one way or another. They got their choice.
Joseph Farah, we're out of time. Thank you for your book, None of the Above, but especially thank you for WorldNet Daily.
Thank you, Bob, for standing up for life and for freedom.
It's an honor coming from you. Thank you, Joseph Farah. And Colorado Right to Life, this coming weekend, Saturday night, they have a banquet here in Denver that's going to be tremendous. 753-9394 coming out. I'd love to see you. And Maranatha, what a great school.